Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Would you be more likely to go to the gym if you got a tax break for your membership? Well, one of my next guests thinks it should be a budget 2025 measure and would help promote a healthier way of living to many people across the country. Malcolm Byrne is a Fianna Fáil senator. This is his proposal and he joins me on the line. We're also joined by Aoife Hearn, who's a registered dietitian and lecturer at SETU in Waterford. And you're both welcome. Malcolm, first to you, will you tell us how this would work or how you would like to see it work?
Good morning, Claire, and good morning to your listeners. As a society, we're all living longer, and that's a positive thing. But a lot of the evidence shows that later in life, we're not necessarily living healthier lives. And the evidence shows that if we can maintain some level of physical activity, that's more likely to keep us out of hospitals and the need for care later on in life. So it's something that as a state and as a society, we should be encouraging. And myself, along with a number of colleagues in Fianna Fáil, including Chris O'Sullivan, TD, and Albert Dolan, the chair of Galway County Council, have been pushing this issue within our parliamentary party. And I know that the Irish Physical Activity Alliance, which represents a lot of gyms around the country, that it's also been raising this as an initiative to try to encourage people to become fitter, to
well,
join
they,
gyms.
Well, of course, they would want this because, I mean, they want to boost their membership. And if it's cheaper for people in their pockets to join, that would be beneficial for the gyms. But is this, in your mind, is it one of a number of strategies that might help deal with the obesity crisis? Is that what your thinking is?
It's part of it. But, you know, if we think about the budget on health that will be announced this week, it will be something of the order of around 25 billion. And yet only a very small proportion of that goes on health promotion. In many ways, what the health budget is to do is to deal with illnesses and challenges that we have. And I think we need to look at ways in which we can encourage all of us to lead healthier lifestyles, but particularly to ensure around things like balance and flexibility and muscle mass that we have it right throughout our entire lives.
Okay.
And the evidence, certainly from other jurisdictions, right, and we look at places like Newfoundland and Singapore, where they have introduced these sort of incentives, it has had long-term impacts in terms of fewer people ending up in hospitals or in nursing homes and needing care as a result.
Okay, so Aoife, from your point of view as a registered dietitian, what do you make of the idea?
Well, I think, good morning, Malcolm. Good morning, Claire. I think number one, it is like a really well-meaning attempt, I think, to help the nation be healthier. And anything that helps us, makes it easier to eat well and move more, is a good thing. And 100% it's important when we think of lifelong wellness. And particularly, as Malcolm mentioned, you know, balance as we age, you know, is something that we often lose. And anything that we can do to preserve that is important. I think, though, if we're thinking of it in terms of obesity, it's probably something that is oversimplified. You know, that we know obesity is a complex chronic disease and that moving more is great, but in a prevention piece, but in a treatment piece, it just needs something a bit bigger. I think that also, I suppose, what I would say is moving more is great and it's important for our health, for mental health, for our physical health. But I would hate for people to think the only way they can move is by going to a gym. You know, like we really would, what I would love to see, I suppose, is funding going into how we can keep our communities moving more, how we can tie in with the obesity action plan and look at how we can, you know, embed movement into our everyday life. So how can we make our villages, towns, cities safer places to walk? How can we make walking and moving a normal part of life from the very start when we think of our kids going to primary schools and so on? So, you know, going to a gym, I suppose, for me, is only a very small part of movement. It's the movement we do in our daily life that actually is really, really important. And that's what we need to preserve.
And Aoife, is there any evidence from those parts of the world, the so-called blue zones, where people live long and healthy lives? Is there any evidence that those people use gyms?
There's not, and I was actually going to mention that, Claire, because these blue zones are so fascinating. So these are places in the world where people live longest. They tend to die in their 90s, in their sleep. They have very low level of disease. and they don't go to a gym. And I would say from an eating perspective, they don't follow diets either, which I think is really important. But what they do do, and what they do really well, is they move. They move their whole life. They're pulling, they're dragging, they're, you know, they actually, in many of these cultures, don't even have a word for retirement, you know. So this idea of moving throughout their life is really embedded, I suppose, in their culture.
Mm-hmm. Are you concerned when you hear that, Malcolm, that this might send out a message to people that in order to be healthy and live a long and full life, you have to go to a gym?
I don't think that that is the message. I mean, and certainly he was right in terms of diet is a very important part of our lives. And, you know, there are other ways in terms of encouraging walking. I'm very conscious that, you know, last week, Sports Minister Thomas Byrne announced $250 million of sports capital grants. And a lot of that is about enhancing walking facilities around soccer pitches, rugby pitches, GAA pitches around the country. So that's certainly part of it. But what this is really is about encouraging people to look at ways to build muscular strength and flexibility and balance. Gyms are great to be able to do that. Gyms are not all about, you know, guys lifting very heavy weights. It's about people being able to go to their gym or to their pool. There are examples around the world, for instance, in Newfoundland, where a physical activity tax credit of up to $2,000 per family was introduced. And that has certainly led to, you know, more people going and engaging in fitness classes. In Singapore, for instance, since 2020, all Singaporeans aged 65 and above get free entry into state-funded gyms and swimming pools. And I certainly think, I mean, people might have the wrong, you know, vision sometimes of gyms. Gyms are open to everybody, to all ages, and particularly as we get older, it is important that we maintain those healthy lives.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think, but if there's a finite amount to invest in health promotion, Malcolm, would it not be better to do what AFA suggests and focus on making your community a more attractive place to be active in?
Absolutely, but gyms in themselves are a community, and this is not an either or. I mean, I certainly believe that in terms of encouraging people to walk or to run, I'm very heavily involved, for instance, in Park Run. Every Saturday morning, you see, you know, tens, hundreds of thousands of people right around the country involved in Park Run. That's certainly something we need to encourage as well. But here's an opportunity by providing people with an incentive, either through a tax relief or indeed possibly through a voucher scheme. And in fairness, when we met with Minister Jack Chambers to discuss this, and he's a big supporter of physical fitness, he's quite open to the idea that if we can encourage people to live more healthy lifestyles in whatever way, and believe me, that does include gym membership, we should encourage that.
Yeah, and that is the bottom line, isn't it, Aoife? And it'd be difficult to find somebody who wouldn't support that, to encourage people to live healthier and more active lives. Whatever form that support takes, is that not welcome?
I think it's only one piece to a very big puzzle, you know. And I suppose we want to create a nation of people that moving is normal. And I think when we think, and I know colleagues of mine in SETU Waterford have active ageing classes, and those things are really, really important as we age. But often, I suppose, if we think of our regular gyms, people don't always feel comfortable going in there. I know sometimes when people are older, they don't feel it's a place for them. And I know when people are living in bigger bodies, they don't always feel comfortable going there either. So I think it's how we create within our maybe gym communities that there is space for everyone. And that when we think about resistance exercise, of course, it is really important for our health, but that it doesn't only have to happen in a gym.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there's a stigma, isn't there, around obesity here and people who are living with obesity. And what you just mentioned there plays into that, that some people just mightn't be comfortable in this environment, in a gym environment. And so a policy like this might still leave them feeling left behind.
True. And I think like exercise is really, and movement is important when we think of prevention of obesity. But when we think of treatment of obesity, you know, it's only a very small piece of the puzzle. So I think we really need to think of these initiatives that everybody feels comfortable in joining. And like, I know when we think about things Ireland lights up, even over the winter, they create such great communities. So all of that capital funding I saw in lots of my local clubs that were received is really welcome. And I think anything that can get people together, get them moving, get them healthy, and, you know, will be really, really welcomed.
Mm-hmm. So you're not saying don't do this, but you need to do it as part of a bigger package. Would that be fair?
100%. I'm definitely not saying don't do it, but I am saying if we think about keeping our nation healthier, we need to think about how we can regulate for a healthier environment. Moving and eating is one of them, but we also need to think about the influence of food and drink industry and how that is influencing both our food choices and our movement.
Yeah, that's a more difficult problem to solve, isn't it, Malcolm, the influence of the food and drinks industry, particularly on children?
It is. I would just maybe challenge Aoife a little bit. I mean, I think you'll find with most gyms right around the country, if somebody goes in and they want to improve their fitness and they talk to people who are working in the gyms are incredibly keen to provide that support. And certainly, I think the experience of, and it includes older people and people who may have weight challenges, when they go into a gym, they do get a warm welcome and a program is designed to help them. So, I do entirely accept it has to be part of a broader issue. I know, for instance, when we were debating what became the Online Safety and Media Regulation Act, one of the big issues and concerns we had was about the online marketing of particular foods and especially sugary foods at children, and how that impacts on the obesity crisis that we're facing. It's part of, there's not one silver bullet. There are a number of measures that need to be taken. But I think as a society, it's something we have to be very aware of. We are all living longer. That's a very welcome development. But we've got to ensure that we have the measures in place that people are able to live in a healthier way going on in life. And gym membership is one part of that. And yes, certainly membership of sports clubs and being able to walk and being active, and indeed, tackling questions around diet, they're important as well.
And Malcolm, you say there are 500,000 people who have gym memberships. Have you been able to work out how many are active, how many use the gym membership? Because as we know, a lot of people sign up and then don't go.
Well, that is what, man, I wouldn't say a lot of people. There's always a small minority who will get the rush in January, who will join up with the intention of going and don't necessarily.
But do you know if it's a minority or a majority? Have you been able to get a handle on?
Certainly from, I mean, most of this is anecdotal, but 90% plus of people will go relatively regularly to the gym. And a majority of people, if they have a gym membership, will try to go at least once a week. And obviously, there are many people who go several times. The idea behind this incentive is obviously to encourage people to go. Part of the commitment, is if a measure like this is introduced, that the gyms would not increase prices, so that it's not seen as a measure to make money for gyms. But what the real hope is that by getting people in, it's not just about them joining the gym, that obviously that they will have a program that will improve their balance, their flexibility, and indeed build muscular strength.
Okay, and just finally, Aoife, back to you. Are you concerned about the message that this sends out to people? And if so, what are your concerns?
I suppose my concern is that when we think about movement, it's not just about what happens in the gym. And even Malcolm mentioned himself there, people go once a week. Well, when we think about people being well and fit, that once a week for 1 hour is not a huge impact. It's what we do on a consistent basis that really impacts our health and wellness and prevention of disease for lifelong.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you both, Aoife Hearn and Malcolm Byrne.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.